Generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the coastside, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday. Open mic night on Thursday and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant Pub in Half Moon Bay.
Broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay, this is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond, this is the place for coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Reuben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystalline.
Okay, good morning, Coastsiders. It's Friday, May 8th, 2026. Time for some Coastal Windage. Despite what the intro said, it's just me today, no Crystalline. She needed a break. She's been picking up extra shifts here at the information factory that is Coastal Windage. So, you know, she gets a chance to breathe. We've been kind of switching back and forth. I've had to take a few weeks off this season. Fortunately, Crystalline's been there. And, you know, everybody needs a break. Even Crystalline. I know, it's hard to believe. She's a machine. Even machines, you gotta turn them off, power them down a little bit. You know, don't burn them out. Anyway, so she's getting a chance to breathe. This week, people think radio is all about the fame and fortune, which, yes, I mean, why else would you get into broadcast radio other than the massive riches that are there for you? But it can be a grind, man. Every week, a new show, you got to be on. Well, that's why we have Crystalline. All right, so we don't have Crystalline, but we're back in our new home, as we came back last week, The Orb. That's the new name we're going with for a completely rebuilt and refurbished Coastal Windage Studios. If you were listening last week, you actually got to hear. We still have the elevated viewing gallery. We had visitors or, you know, fans, I guess you would call them, attendees cheering from the elevated viewing gallery. So you know it's real. It exists. Okay, The Orb. I've been getting some flack about that. The name is not official yet. We're working with the branding department. You know that Vegas has the Sphere. You know, we need something with some panache. So we're looking at the Orb. The other option is the Panopticon. Call. You can call 650-560-9851 with your choice of the Orb or the Panopticon. I guess if you have some other option that you want to present, we will listen to that. But right now, we're going with those two. You can call. You can email coastalwindage@gmail.com with your choice right now. Of the responses we've got, the Orb has 246 votes. Panopticon has some work to do, trailing at 19 votes. So it looks pretty clear. That's why we're tentatively going with the Orb. But you never know. Panopticon might rally its troops. Who knows? And this is open-ended. Maybe till the end of the season, we'll take votes on what the new name of the studio should be. In case you're just tuning in and what is this person talking about, this is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the coastside's very own live call-in talk radio show. I was on, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes, so I was on KHMB's 12-hour coverage, annual 12-hour coverage of Coastside Gives yesterday, and I was mentioning that KHMB deserves a huge shout-out as part of Coastside Gives, and in general, because I challenge you, listeners, Coastsiders, and the rest of the world that happens to be listening, find me another local radio station here on the peninsula. Well, we'll just focus here on the peninsula. Some radio station out of a building in that town that has content about that town. So I'm not talking some internet radio station like iHeartRadio, whatever, that's a corporate all over the, you know, whatever, that may have a few live people on from time to time, but is not going to have any stories about what's happening down on Main Street. Or interviews with local people. Or focusing on the local topics. And yes, it's a little bit of horn tooting here. Do we have a horn toot sound? No horn toot? Just one of those like Model A horn. Frank, I know you drive a Model A, so you probably, if we could just wheel your car over here and you could just honk your horn at me. Anyways, that is, it's truly a treasure. I don't think people, especially older folks like myself that grew up with radio everywhere, you just, you know, okay. And I journey all over the country, been to all 50 states, driven to every one of them. One of the, not to Hawaii. I've driven in Hawaii. Like, you can't drive to Hawaii, but I've driven to every one of the other 49 states. And occasionally, you will see a radio station. It was kind of frustrating to me. My son, but they're rare. It was, my son watched the show Stranger Things. I don't know if anybody's Stranger Things fans out there. And as part of that, I didn't... Noah? Okay, Noah's a Stranger Things fan. As part of that, I didn't watch... I dropped in a couple episodes. So I don't really know what's going on. But at some point, there's some radio station that they're dealing with or they're at. And I turned to my son and I said, wow, this is what I imagine a radio station to be. It was its own building, like back in the woods somewhere up on a hill with a huge radio tower and big letters across the front, you know, WKRP or whatever the station was in Stranger Things. And inside they had all this equipment and, you know, it was their own facility and everything. Occasionally driving across the country, you will still see a radio station like that. Very, very few and far between now. And it used to be in the old days, that now I say the old days, 20, 30, 40 years ago, that was a common thing. Because radio was part of the network and the fabric, local radio of this country, which no longer exists. I've been taking a lot of trips this season with my son and wife to go visit college campuses. My son is a senior in high school, trying to decide where he wants to go to college. So we've been going and checking out the colleges. One fun thing about almost every college is they do still have their own radio station in a little building. That's a separate radio station, college campus radio station. So that's kind of cool, but I imagine if I went into any of those radio stations, I don't know how much broadcasting they're doing. I think that they still are doing broadcast, very limited, probably around the campus, on the campus. But that would be interesting to find out is at the college level, you know, they're still got the mics and the creative side, right, the talent side, quote unquote, is probably still the same. But are they all internet now? You know, is there any broadcast going on these campus radio stations? You know, out to AM, FM, or is it just internet? I mean, the sinking feeling I have is that it's just internet because it's, you know, college kids, they're young, they're sucked into the cult of technology, so they probably think that's the only way to do it. Anyways, my point being that KHMB is truly a rare gem, and I'm so glad it's here, not only because we can do the show on here, but because there's something local about the coastside. Content generated by, for, and about the coastside. And you just can't really find that anywhere. Again, we don't have a radio station. I mean, we do have a radio station. I've just been talking about that. We don't have a TV station or a TV broadcast thing, which again, in the old days, you would find a TV station in some of the smaller towns, not little tiny towns, but even like very, very big towns / very, very small cities would have its own radio station, probably an affiliate, a network affiliate, but sometimes not. And now, nope. Now, no. We don't have... We have nominally a local newspaper. It's not a paper, and it's not based locally anymore. It has a P.O. box in Half Moon Bay, but it literally doesn't have a physical presence on the coast side. There is no building you can go to and talk to someone at the quote-unquote local paper. There are no newspapers to touch from the local paper. There are no newspaper boxes. Again, the old days. Yes, there's a lot of old days talk going on today, I guess. But just a few years ago, let's say 10 years ago, you could walk down the street and there'd be newspaper boxes, right? These boxes on the street, you put a quarter in or 51 cents or $1.50, whatever it was by the time the local paper stopped, the Half Moon Bay Review stopped selling paper versions. And that's where you would get your paper. And there was a local presence, Half Moon Bay Review, with a sign on the back of the paper box. Not anymore. And like I said, no place to go. KHMB has a local office. We have local studios here. We're out and about. We're doing live programming. Coastside Gives yesterday. Dream Machines last weekend. This show every Friday. Thursday Night Live. These are really rare things. Okay. Yes, like I said, a little bit of back padding, self-back padding, which is tough because it's hard to reach around there and get a nice slap on the back, but come on. I really am happy to live in a town that has its own radio station. Okay, let's roll around to today's topics. Well, today, it's a kind of a single topic day. We have a Shooting the Breeze live interview with Joaquin Jimenez, who's a candidate for San Mateo County Board of Supervisors, District 3. That's our district, by the way. San Mateo County is divided into five districts, five county supervisors. Right now, Ray Mueller is our county supervisor. And so Joaquin is running against Ray. Ray's the incumbent. Joaquin's the challenger. Next week, we're going to have Ray on the show. So Joaquin is going to come in later during the show, and we're going to talk to him, ask him some questions about his platform, his campaign, and his thoughts about this election. Okay, let's get to the air quality report, because surprisingly, I don't know if it's the overcast. This day has a bit of a pall on it right now. It's kind of one of those coastside mornings where you want to stay in bed and just pull the covers up and have somebody bring you coffee in bed and just maybe doze for a while. But we got work to do. We got bills to pay. So part of that is an air quality report. Let's remember the scale, 0 to 50 is incredible. I mean, incredible. That's like, that's the air you want to breathe, 0 to 50. That's a range. All the way up to 50 is good. 51 to 100 is okay, and over that is not good. And we have become spoiled here with air quality that's usually in the single digits or teens. And I say that as a prelude to today's air quality report, which is still fully ensconced in the incredible range, yet still, you know, doesn't seem so great because we've gotten used to single digits or teens. Well, Santa Cruz pulling its weight today, 12 down in Santa Cruz. So if you need a gulp of fresh air, head on down to Santa Cruz. Today in Redwood City, 30, okay. 35 in Half Moon Bay and 40 today in El Granada. This is what I'm saying. Still in the excellent range, but 40, it's interesting to read these air quality reports because it's like 40. Okay, we're usually at like 8 or 12. So it's 40 today in El Granada. What's happening up there? Well, if it was 10 in Half Moon Bay and 12 in Santa Cruz and 40 in El Granada, I would say it's something localized. And again, this is, since it's 35 in Half Moon Bay, it's not specifically localized to El Granada, but if I was going to just theorize off the cuff, there's a lot of Caltrans road work going on in El Granada right now, overnight. It's happening overnight. People in El Granada, you can hear the machines backing up and the, you know, the dump truck rattling and horns honking. I guess they have a communication system to bring equipment up. They honk horns and stuff. So rumbling all night long, which, it's fine. I'm not complaining. It doesn't bother me. When my head hits the pillow, it's go time. But it's a lot of rumbling out there and a lot of equipment. And what What does that equipment produce besides hopefully a newly paved road? A lot of diesel exhaust. Is that what has caused the air quality report to be spiked today in El Granada? Again, probably not, given that Half Moon Bay is at 35, but something's going on. Okay. Anyways, oh, and today, our Easter egg, in case you want some of those windage bucks, these windage bucks are good until July of 26. So that's, two more months? And we still have some, so if you would like to get one, today's Easter egg location, if you can figure out why, call in and tell us at 650-560-9851. Today in Chico, California, 33. All right, just a side note. I got the interns on Nextdoor and Coast Side News and other Coast Side Buzz, you know, all the media sources for the Coast Side, just to, you know, just to gather content. You know, we're a content machine here, so we got to be gathering. And I came in this morning, and we have a bank of computers here that the interns are on. They're supposed to be here 3 hours before the show, researching and, you know, preparing the script and getting the level on my chair exactly right and getting my coffee and everything. So I come in and they grab me and they're like, Ruben, you gotta check this out. And so they show me Nextdoor. Right now, Nextdoor is alive with Animalia. Yeah, you can say that word on radio. Animalia. That's a okay word to say. Sounds a little icky, but Animalia. Go on Nextdoor right now. Literally, the first like 10 posts are peregrine falcon chicks, geese with goslings, two baby fawns about a week old, a bobcat on a yard cam, a baby goat tour at Harley Farms, and Brian the great blue heron patrolling El Granada for varmints. That's a lot of animals. And it's just weird that they were all in a row of posts. You know, like, that's a little weird. Okay, moving on. So let's just give an update on Coastside Gives. Okay, that was yesterday. That's the 24-hour day of giving. Total, their goal was $2 million. Let me just pause that for a second, because we've got Joaquin Jimenez in here this morning. Good morning, Joaquin.
Good morning.
Howdy, my friend.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay, so we're just kind of like setting it up here. Got a couple of things that we're doing. We'll pull you in, and then when we go to commercial break, when we come back, are you ready?
Like, I'm
you
ready?
You ready to get grilled?
I was outside waiting. Like, when you come in, I'm
okay. All right. Again, that's what the interns like. We have this whole mess of interns here. They're supposed to like keep an eye out for our guests and, like I said, get my coffee. Oh, whatever. They're volunteers, right? Okay, Coastside Gives. $2 million was the goal. They raised so far $1,905,462, if you're keeping account down to the dollar. 3,479 different donors, making 7,851 different donations. Joaquin, do you have a favorite... I know you have a favorite nonprofit. We'll talk about Rancho San Benito a little bit later. Do you? But they weren't part of Coastside Gives.
No, not yet.
Do you have a favorite nonprofit on Coastside Gives?
I have three. Three favorite ones.
Okay.
And that's Coastside Hope.
Yep.
You know, Puente de la Costa Sur and Alas.
Okay. So, interestingly enough, I don't have the leaderboard right in front of me, but I was looking at it yesterday. Those three are always at the top.
Yeah, they are.
Maybe they aim high, or maybe people appreciate their mission, right? So it's interesting that those are your favorites. Those are everybody's favorites, I guess. They do good work, right?
Okay. Yes, they do.
Okay, so that came out to about $547 per donor. That's a lot. So that seems like a lot. But there's matching. And I don't know if there's, you know, some people's employers will match. So maybe that number's a little skewed on the individual households. And that's $242 per donation. That's a pretty good per donation chunk. Okay. Like I said, KHNB participated in that yesterday. That was our fifth year in a row supporting Coastside Gives. It was a very fun lineup of live radio personalities yesterday, including Jim Henderson, Bay Area Broadcast Hall of Famer Peter Finch, First ballot, Coastside Hall of Famer Cameron Palmer, Kelly Morlock from Coastside Carousel, Marcus D from Star 101.3. I wish I could say like Star 101.3, but we need to have something like that for KHMB, like pop. Live from the coast side. We need to get something. Frank, work on that, okay? Get your AI going. Get your AI machine going on that. Generate us some, like, blah, 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 KHMB. Okay. Let's see. Well, let's just run through a couple of emails here. Joaquin, can you handle a couple of emails? Our listener emails.
Well, go ahead.
But I was rifling through the stack of them, and I think I saw your name mentioned in one of them. So let me see if I can find that one. We'll just go right to that one.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Hopefully it was a good mention. I just saw your name. I'm like, I better be careful here. Okay. All right. This one is from Smokestack Willie Underground Now. Okay, so last week, I think it was, I put a picture. They're doing a bunch of road work in El Granada on Highway 1. Apparently part of that is they're doing a bunch of stuff with the power lines, and now the power lines there look like a just multi-level, huge power lines. I thought they were, and so I mentioned last week, I thought they were undergrounding. Why are we putting more stuff on the power lines instead of undergrounding, especially since we're doing all this work, now seems like the time. So I assume what this person is talking about, because the subject line is underground now! Exclamation point. I'm sure you never get that as a political, but Joaquin, I want it now! What are you doing for me now? Right? Okay, here it goes. Ruben, I thought it was your usual clickbait hyperbole when you said they were, quote, building a friggin' power link along the parallel trail, unquote, on last week's show. So I went to the Coastal Windage webpage to see the picture you mentioned, and actually, you understated it. What are all those things they've hung on the pole? And yes, now both sides of the street through Murata Surf have multi-level power lines. Could you please ask Joaquin and Ray if they have any plans to try to get some of these lines undergrounded? Wasn't that the plan after the PSPSs in the time of COVID? PSPSs being the public safety power shutoffs that we had during the winds, because PG&E, the lines were bad. So I know you just drop right in. I know it's not Caltrans isn't necessarily your bailiwick, but do you have any thoughts? I think I saw on your platform you talked about equitable telecommunications.
Yeah,
I don't know if this falls in that category, but do you have any thoughts on undergrounding? Like, if you get elected, can you do anything about that?
I think I could. I think, you know, as a supervisor, the influencing, you know, with the different groups, you know, that work in the county, not just, you know, the coast side, you know, to make it better for the community was, throughout the years, we always lose power during storms.
I mean,
you know, Pescadero went without power one time, 7 days.
Right. And the back of Montera is the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So going underground, it's a preferred, you know, method to do. Yeah.
To get these things underground, okay, this is why I think myself and this Smokestack Willie don't understand. They're doing all this road work now.
Yeah.
And they've got all these AT&T and other trucks working on these power lines in Murata West in the field and then next to El Granada School, right along the bike path. If they're going to be doing all this work, why not just dig a trench and put the... You know, put it. I guess I don't understand the construction part of it. I'm sure it costs a lot of money, but
I think they're gonna do that. I believe it's gonna go underground.
It just in El Granada or the whole coast side? I mean,
unless we talked about, you know, doing another set with parts of the county. So hopefully we'll go the whole coast.
And you're pro underground?
Yes, of course. Of course, I'm pro underground.
I mean, I would hope so, but here we are in 2026, and apparently they're putting more lines above ground. So somebody apparently is not strong enough underground. I don't know how we do that. But if you get elected, I will send Smokestack Willie to talk to you
about
undergrounding. Okay. Well, how much time we have left, Noah? 3 minutes. Okay. Let's do one more email. Let's see if we can find a fun one here. See, the thing about these emails, Joaquin, is I ask the interns to go through them. They like to find ones that make fun of me or make me look bad. Yeah. So, here's one.
Yeah.
Here's one, maybe. All right. No, this one's not good, but no? We're going to read it anyway.
All right.
This one's from the mayor of IV, subject line, college time. So my son is a senior in high school, so he's going and looking at colleges. And so we've been talking about how a lot of kids, it seems like a lot of kids now are just choosing not to go away to college. They're going to CSN. You know, we've got some amazing JCs, which is very valuable to have, right? But a lot of kids that seem like they've got the grades, and they really, in maybe 10 or 20 years ago, they'd be off going to some college somewhere away from home, are staying home for a couple years and then going. I don't know if it's the economy or a different mindset of kids today.
Yeah, actually, I talk about that on my platform. It's about, you know, the high school, you know, graduating seniors, you know, what's for them to do after high school. And that's a big part of what I'm presenting to the community.
Well, yes, I think I heard your event in Pacifica a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was last week, talking about vocational education. I definitely want to get into that when we come back from our commercial break, because I know that's very important to you.
Yeah.
And I think as we talk about this college situation, that could be a game changer for Coastside kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we got 1 minute. Let's rip through this email because it's ridiculous. This person sends us ridiculous emails all the time. So just brace yourself, okay, Joaquin? Brah. Brah. College is the wetlands, man. The tidal barrier between the protected waters of home life and the open ocean of adulthood. It's all banyan trees and mangrove swamps. And that's how it should be. Like, bro, dude, bro. Seriously, gators and mud and old dudes yelling something at you from an airboat. I'm just saying, young chats got to be thoughtful and stuff and like a well-rounded human, not some corporate drone. Tell them to burn the ships like Alexander the Great. Full-on commit. I get low-key salty when I think of kids living at home with moms doing the laundry. College is where to learn how to live, man, where you learn how to live. Kids gotta live. Peace out. This is what I'm talking. I'm just going to say I love our listeners. This is a crazy person. They send us these emails sometimes like, okay, like how long did it take you to come up with that email there? Well, you're a Chico State man, right? You're a college man.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you we got to go. Okay. We'll come back to, okay. I want to hear about your decision to go away to college because as we talk about kids today seeming like they, you know, are maybe more reluctant to go away. All right, let's go to commercial break. When we come back, Joaquin Jimenez for the next half an hour.
This is Community Radio for the Coastside.
100.9 KHMB.
Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
Hi, this is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me and Stan Warren Littrell coming up at 10 o'clock right after Coastal Windage. We'll have a look at today in history, plus we'll get to a brand new forgotten find. It all happens at 10 a.m. right here from 100.9 FM KHMB.
Okay, we're back. This is Ruben. I'm back here with Joaquin Jimenez. Joaquin is a candidate for San Mateo County Board of Supervisors, District 3. And in case you don't know, District 3 is our district. That's why Joaquin is running for District 3.
Yes,
it would,
I am.
Would not make any sense if you were running for District 1, right? Okay.
Representing.
Exactly. Representing District 3. Okay, we talked about, before we went to the break, we were talking about college kids seem, a lot of kids that seem like they've got the grades, they've got everything that maybe 20 years ago they would be a no-brainer, they're heading off to college somewhere. When you went off to college,
yes,
when you went to Chico, which is 3.5 hours away,
yeah,
was it scary for you? Was it a no-brainer? Like I'm out of here, I'm going.
It was a bit scary, but I wanted to get away, you know, learn about what's out there. So it was a good place. Chico was a very social, you know, college.
Yeah.
So that's what I was looking for.
Right. So I think that really taps into it. Something with this latest generation and COVID, because it's kind of combined, and technology,
mm-hmm.
has made, it feels like it has made this younger generation less inquisitive, less interested in, like, going out and seeing the world, and more, I don't know, more in place. Like, I just want to kind of, like, shelter in place here in a comfortable place. I was the same way. Like, let's go see what the rest of the world is like. You know, my dad used to have this saying, came from an old movie, like, once they've seen the bright lights of gay Paris, they'll never go back to the farm.
Yeah.
But you're back.
Yes, I am.
So you saw the rest of the world, but you came back to the coast.
Exactly.
What brought you back?
So when I left for Chico, I went to Chico with a major of animal science. I wanted to be a small rancher. That was my whole idea. You know, go to Chico, go to Davis, come back and be a rancher. When I get to Chico, within my first semester, I realized a lot of things. You know, I am a person of the community. I've always been, since I was in high school, very social, but also very observant. And I got to see Chico, Sacramento, that other community, compare that to Half Moon Bay. And I saw that we're missing out on a lot of things. So I switched my major to sociology to work with the community. I wanted to come back to Half Moon Bay to do exactly that, be organized with the community, represent the community, educate the community. And that was my hope, that was my plan, and I did that. I came back to Half Moon Bay. I worked with the school district, community school liaison, then as a teacher. From here, I went to work to juvenile probation. Everything was about the youth, right? Preparing the future leaders of our community, prepare them for the future. I'm an educator. I'm a student, but I'm also an educator. And that's what brought me back to the community, you know, creating programs, community events, with the Boys and Girls Club, you know, organizing the parents, organizing the students at the high school. I was an advisor for one of the clubs at the high school. I created the group. It's called Puente. Yes, like Puente de la Costa Sur, uh-huh. But it's Puente, and we were created at the same time in 98. I didn't know about Puente de la Costa Sur, but, you know, to us, Puente at the high school, it was to create the bridge between the schools and the community. Yep. And that's why I came back to Half Moon Bay.
Well, Half Moon Bay is fortunate that you did. Okay, so let's talk about you, what you're doing now. Like, well, let me just back up for a second and say my dad was also a juvenile probation officer, and that's part of your bona fides.
Yeah.
As like a real, you know, person that walks the walk, right? That's a tough gig.
It is.
But it also shows dedication, because it would be easy to walk away from that population.
Yeah.
You know, kids that have already gotten in trouble, they're a lost cause walking away. So my dad was a juvenile probation officer, and it is a tough gig. It burned him out. He did it for 10 years, and it's just like, because you see...
I did it 15.
Oh, my goodness, Joaquin. You do it for the best reasons, but you're also seeing, like, the worst situations, right?
Yeah.
You got to go into homes and deal with parents and deal with kids that are struggling. But, again, it shows the person inside, I think. So I appreciate... Thank you for doing that for our community. You ever run into any of those kids?
I do, all the time. And some of them actually follow me on, you know, social media. I see them in the community. Funny story, my brother, Felix, you know, who's an electrician in town, there's a kid that he said, oh, yeah, this kid, you know, he calls me Mr. Jimenez. He thinks I'm you. So this kid, you know, was like, yeah, Mr. Jimenez, I see you on TV now, you know, I hear you're the mayor, you know. So they remember me, you know, for the work that I did, you know, advocating for them, you know, preparing them for the future, being there for them no matter what, right? You get, because I got to see them at the worst in the time.
Yeah.
Now that they're business owners, they're professionals, they're actually doctors, and other ones not so fortunate, but I see them around the sound in the community, Redwood City, I see them.
Oh, that's got to make you feel good.
Of
course,
yeah.
Okay. All right, so you're a community advocate and organizer, former mayor of Half Moon Bay, you've dedicated your career, as you've just mentioned, to advocating for the environment, for farmers, ranchers, farm workers, and open spaces.
Yes.
Okay. The last time we had you on the show was January 12th, 2024, and we asked you at the time, because we could see, like... if you had any higher political aspirations. I remember at the time you were a little, you know, coy, like, well, I got something I'm doing right now, so, you know, we'll worry about that later. I guess later's here.
Later's here.
Okay, so would you call yourself now, I know you got a lot of things that you do, would you call yourself now a professional politician? You know, is running for supervisor part of, like, the focus of your future? You know, you're going to be involved in government at the elected level, as opposed to, like, the nonprofit or the, like, you know, service level. Are you a professional politician?
No. I actually, I don't consider myself to be a politician. You know, running for office, it has nothing to do about me being a politician. I do know how to play the game. You know, politics is a game. You know, unfortunately, the ones that gives our results is our community. And I don't agree with that, you know. I'm running because I like to get things done. If you see my my platform 2020 when I ran for city council, everything I said I was going to do, I did, and more. I represented the community, and that's why I'm running again. I'm around the community. I engage with the people, and I hear from them, you know, what is the need. And a lot of those things that the needs right now, it was the same needs that we had as a family when we came, you know, when we migrated to Half-Moon Bay, and how a lot of things have not changed. You know, and the representation is not there. And that is, you know, the status quo does not serve the vast majority, right? And that's not okay. And that's why I'm here, you know, running for office. I still do not consider myself to be a politician. You know, I know how to play the game. I know, you know, how to get things done. And that's what I'm here for, to get things done.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the things you want to get done. I've got your platform here, and topics include housing, traffic, infrastructure, vocational opportunities. Before we get to those, and I will make sure that we do, because I know how important vocational opportunities are, as well as farming. But let me just ask you as a general, because people have asked me, oh, you're going to have Joaquin on. Like, oh, great. Okay, but, you know, what... Joaquin's got the coastside nailed down, right? Like, he's... knows what's good, got the fingers on the pulse of the coastside. But what about the other side of the hill? You know, what do people in Woodside, Portola Valley, and Menlo Park, and Atherton, you know, what do they care about farm workers or farming or, you know, whatever? So let me ask you a general question. What do you think are the main issues that need to be addressed for District 3? You know, one or two. I know, like, well, I'm not saying 15. Like, one or two of the main issues for District 3 that you would want to talk to people over the hill about.
So, we have similar issues about, you know, public safety. Public safety has always been a big deal for me. But it became even more concerning, you know, after the shooting in Half-Moon Bay. And the collaboration with the sheriff's department, with the law enforcement agencies, with the community overall. And I know that's one thing that connects the coastside, you know, to over the hill, is, you know, public safety. But the other thing, you know, it might not sound like it's connected, but I do visit the farmers market, you know, in the county. I visit, and I see that we all like to eat fresh, and we all like to support our farming, you know, ranching industries. At the Menlo Park Farmers Market, most of the vendors there come from the Central Valley. Right? Why not have our local vendors, you know, show up at the farmers market? And that's why, you know, farming, it will be its benefit for the coastside as a business, but over the hill in Menlo Park, Woodside, Portola, as a consumer. So there's a connection. And then on top of that, it is the economy or the agricultural industry that benefit that to the county. And that's the other focus. You know, I know how much we produce annually, you know, in the agricultural industry. $115, $120 million, you know, a year. We can do $500 million easily. We have the land to do it. We have the people to do it. That's why, you know, focus of mine is... you know, economic mobility, new businesses, small farming, more farmers, more ranchers. That's what is to build the economy. So that is a benefit to the other side of the hill as well.
Okay. So I'm going to, like, dip into a pool that's probably above my head. So hopefully, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm dealing with the right person. You can handle this. Do we have a, so, okay, I love the idea, you know, people don't know where their food comes
yeah.
from, right? They go to the supermarket, it just magically appears, and like, you know, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so going to places that maybe don't think about farming, like
yeah.
Portola Valley or something, and explaining to them, where do you think this is coming from, right? And look, we're just over the hill. Wouldn't you rather it come from here?
Yeah.
I mean, all the expenses could be less, shipping and, you know, whatever. But do we have, you mentioned mobility, do we have, I mean, we do, it's not even a question, a billionaire problem in San Mateo County of getting, we have half, I just had them check,
uh-huh.
half of the top 10 richest people in the world
mm-hmm.
live in San Mateo County.
Yeah.
Then you've got all the tech over
yeah.
the hill, a lot of tech money, even on this side. How do we square that circle in terms of, like, on that side of the hill, it's tech, 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 tech,
yeah.
tech, tech, and billionaires and just money splashing everywhere. How do we get them to acknowledge that there is a need for greater mobility, social mobility, a greater need for more economic equity? You know, how do you get their attention on that when they're just peeling bills off on the other side of the hill, you know?
Remember the movie Field of Dreams?
Yeah.
What was the quote?
If you build it, they will come?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
More people discover Half Moon Bay. People discover the coast side during the pandemic. Now we have to give them more things to come over, you know, to visit. That is one of the reasons I organized Vaquero Days. So we had the Pumpkin Festival, an event that's been going on for many years, for about 53 years now. Vaquero Days, we've done it for 2 years. This is going to be our third year. More people coming into Half Moon Bay, you know, to celebrate, you know, to see what's new,
yeah.
right? You know, so that the same thing with the farming industry. Once they get the chance to see the agricultural industry growing, right, we'll see where the food is coming from. That's one of the reasons I created Rancho San Benito, is to educate or community about food production.
So let's talk about Rancho San Benito for a second. Okay, where is that? I think it's a plot of land.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So Rancho San Benito, we have a lease with Post.
Peninsula Open Space.
Peninsula Open Space. And it's right here at the corner of Seymour Street and Highway 1. We're on the west corner of the, you know, the other street.
Across from the James Ford area.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we are right there. So, like any new organization, you know, there's been some struggles, right? First of all, we became a nonprofit on 22. I was part of city council. I cannot be directly involved because of conflict of interest. Because, you know, Joaquin, you know, the city council, so the, you know, so conflict of interest is a big deal for me. I don't want to be looked at as, you know, corrupt, you know, manipulating the systems to get a benefit for that. So, you know, so a lot of changes have been going on. We have different board members. Now we have, the board members. Now we are ready to continue to do, you know, the work of our mission is to help, to work with the community. Our mission is to work with the community to give them the start to becoming a small farmer. Educate them, collaboration with the Renaissance program to teach them how to run a business, not to teach them how to farm, but to teach them how to run the business and become a sustainable, successful business. At the same time, we will educate our community, your young adults, about food production. Where is the food coming from? Who is producing your food, right? So that's a big benefit to the tech industry, you know, to people over the hill, because we're going to have open doors, you know, Rancho San Benito. Come and see how we work the land. Come and see, you can, you know, how food is harvested. Through education, and billionaires have an interest, you know, of the food production. If you check around the United States, not just in California, check on the United States, a lot of the people with money, millionaires and billionaires, they're investing in farming, right? But you also have small communities that are investing, you know, small farmers. We're talking about, you know, 1 acre, 5 acres, and they are producing enough to make a good income. Plus, they're feeding the family and they're feeding the community, right? So everything comes about education, Well, like I say, you know, I'm an educator, right? And I share with you, you know, the visions, you know, for the future. And we have to think about the future. That's why I think about we're graduating seniors. A year ago, I heard about 10% of our graduating seniors, right, actually are going to a four-year college. What is all the 90% doing?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, what are they doing?
Exactly. So, you know, meeting with them, you know, asking with parents, with business owners, with students, what's one of your interests? You know, vocational trainings, vocational trades, carpenters, electricians, plumbers, concrete workers, medical assistants, IT support, HVAC. That's the new era.
I mean, I think it's really important to be looking at vocational trades, which maybe, you know, again, I'm stuck in this 20-year time warp here, but 20 years ago, it's like, well, vocational, you know, it's dying out. But ironically, in the age of AI and technology, it's the hands-on jobs that will stay, and it's the computer jobs that are going to disappear into AI.
Yeah.
So maybe these high school seniors are already out in front of the curve and knowing that, like, well, going to college to get a computer or a degree where I'm going to be working in an office, there's not going to be that many offices anymore, like something hands-on, like being an electrician or something. So let's talk about your ideas for vocational education, because if a kid, high school senior, decides I want to be an electrician, is there some place on the coast side where they can go to study that?
Nothing on the coast side. That's why, you know, I want to bring those vocational trades, the schools, into the coast side. Something they will benefit, you know, Pacifica all the way to Pescadero. In Menlo Park, we have a job train. I was an employee of job train, so I learned. One of the reasons I went to work to job train is to learn about the work that they do, right? About how bringing those vocational trades into the coast. You have the plumbers in Burlingame, the carpenters in Foster City, right? Electricians, we don't have them around. Job Corp in San Jose, Treasure Island. So, you know, bringing those trades into the community. I spoke with, you know, electricians, concrete workers, HVAC, metal workers, carpenters. They would love to do that. Be instructors, you know, for the new generations of vocational trades. And I'm going to tell you, looking into that, I would rather see an investment of $20,000 on a student than anything else. Right? That's an investment. That's a sustainable investment. Personal 3 months of training, 3 months to get into a union, to get the experience to enter a union. Within, you know, 6 months, you have them making $30 to $40 an hour as a tradesman. A tradesperson.
And this, as we look at the uncertainty of the tech world in terms of employment, it does seem like there's, again, my 20 to 40 year window here, when industry went out of the country, right, or like started to be offshored. Car manufacturing plants started to shut down, other manufacturing started to get offshore. You know, the idea would be, well, we're going to revolutionize this country to be back to tech. But now it seems like maybe it's come full circle of, like, we need to revolutionize back to industries or occupations where people don't have to go to college. You can if you want or not, but you can still have, you know, quote-unquote, the American dream of a good income, have a place to live that's yours, raise your family, go on vacations, you know, live a good life without a college degree because you work in the trades or some other industry where you're working hard and producing a good product, but you don't have to, like, go to college to get that degree. Yeah. And that's what vocational training would provide.
Exactly. And you think about, you know, a graduating college student, they come out with debt. So they have to pay back. Some of them come with $100,000, some over $100,000 to get their education.
And no guarantee of a job. No,
exactly.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, the vocational trades, it's something I've been looking into it, you know, and this is nothing recent. I mean, for years I've been looking into this. I tried, you know, getting them into the coast. We have the sites where we can do that. We have people interested in becoming instructors, right? That's part of the economy. And not only that, but also the farming. supporting our local farming, you know, the coast, is a benefit. We are the largest farming community in the Bay Area.
Makes sense.
Right. And we have the land. We have over 2,000 acres that we can use to produce food, you know, and new small businesses or new farmers. Same thing with the ranching, right? Now everybody wants organic. Now everybody wants fresh. And we can do that. We can make that happen here in the coast, in San Mateo County.
Sounds good to me. All these things are interconnected. So, again, I watched an event with you and Ray Mueller in Pacifica, and I was listening to some of the things you were talking about, especially with, you know, vocational education really, you know, got my attention. But they're all interconnected. One of the problems that we have, as I asked you, there's no vocational training here. So if you want to do vocational training,
yes,
you got to go over the hill.
Correct.
And if you don't have your own car, how's that going to happen?
Exactly. So that's why, you know, I'm proposing to bring the vocational schools into the coast. Right. So instead of, that would be 2 hours of your life driving either direction.
Or taking the bus.
You take the bus, you can take 4 hours. Right? So, but if you bring the vocational trades into the coast, you know, kids can ride their bikes to school, they can drive, they can, you know. When Bay City was available, you know, to purchase the old Bay City Flower, you know, yep. I invited a lot of the electoral officials to visit the site. Congresswoman Anna Eshoo, Berman was here, county officials, city officials, different organizations, the Sierra Club, Greenfoot Hills. I mean, they were interested about, then when the county became interested in purchasing the property, I mean, that property has so much potential. And one of the ideas of purchasing the property, like the county, was to put the vocational trades, you know, in the property. New businesses for farming, the vocational trainings, and so many other things that could have happened in those 50 acres. I was very disappointed that the county did not purchase a property, right? But, you know, fortunately for us, we have a lot of other properties in the coast. Princeton, we have warehouses. Here in the coast, we have other, you know, shops that could be used. People that are interested, you know, in educating, like say, metalwork, HVAC, carpenters, concrete workers. Right, it's about, you know, giving the opportunity, medical assistance programs. We have the clinic; they have a classroom, right, that they can be used to educate that. Right, so, you know, so there's so many opportunities that we have here in the coast that we're not utilizing.
All right, so Frank's telling me we have about 4 minutes left. I feel like I've been asking you, but is there something that you want to tell potential voters? A topic that you want to really talk about that we haven't discussed yet?
Well, the reason that, you know, that I'm running, you know, it's for a representation of the community. I know Ray. I supported Ray when he ran in 2022. Introduced him to the community. And one of the reasons that I'm running, because I told him, you know, I'm going to support you. I'm going to introduce you. If you don't do the work that you promised us you're going to do, I'm going to come knocking on your door. And that's what I did. You know, from being engaged with the community in the coast side, Pescadero, Pacifica, over the hill, talking about, you know, a lot of promises. You know, a lot of promises. What happened to all those promises? I say, no, do your research. Do your research for somebody who, he's been in politics for almost 20 years, about sustainable programs. Something that we can actually, the status quo, like I said, doesn't work for everybody. We have a lot of struggling families. And I know, because I'm engaged with the community, I mean, you see me, everybody sees me. Joaquin, I saw you there. I was there. Joaquin, I saw you there. I was there. And I'm not only there for the picture. I'm there to engage. And I know, because I asked the community, what can we do? For example, yesterday I was in Pacifica Manor, the shopping center, the Safeway at the bottom of the hill.
Yep.
How come those businesses are not thriving? Signage. Signage is the one thing that all of the businesses, you know, told me, like, you know, this, you have good food. Yeah, but, you know, good location. Yeah, but there's no signage on Highway 1 telling people, we have this food, we have this food, we have this business, we have this business. That's why nobody's stopping right there, right at the bottom of the hill. Right. How did I know that about signage? Because I engage, right? You know, with you know what is it that you need to become more successful? Is that the same thing with the rest of the community in Menlo Park, in Woodside? I mean, Woodside they like me because I'm a cowboy.
A caballero. Yeah,
a caballero. So you know, they are very interested. You know, in having they haven't seen you know probably in the past, but you know, when was the last time we actually had a county supervisor that came from the coast? In the 50s, from Pacifica.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
So, you know, so now, you know, somebody that's engaged, food production, public safety, vocational trades, you know, and smart development, housing. We don't need a big site to develop. We can create housing. We found out Stone Pine, that was created in 2 years. Usually, project like that takes about 5 years. So now we know that we can do it in 2 years. So now they actually, there's a precedent that now, you know, all the locations along the coast side, we can do it within 2 years. And those have to be 47 units. It could be 5, 10, 15, you know, because it's needed right now. And the other thing about Cañada Cove, you know, for the, Stone Pine Cove, for the farm workers, is that they are the owners what they know of their property. So that's a family wealth, family investment into the future, and that we're giving them the opportunity. So, no, it's all about opportunity.
I think that is really – a couple things you mentioned there because people – I know, you know, 555 just got approved,
yeah.
But and whether it's 555 or Cypress Point down up in Moss Beach,
yeah,
it's, people don't know what to think. You know, like they're upset about it, they're pro, they're against. But a couple things that you just mentioned here, Frank's telling me in 1 minute, so maybe 30 seconds here, and but it was so ownership.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a key thing that people want to, like, have some equity in it and be able to maybe pass along to their kids or say, like, this, you know, like, I'm not just renting here and passing through, like, this is where I live. And then the other thing that you mentioned, I think, is really people need, like, we don't need an 80-unit apartment building. It could be a 2 or 3 unit structure or 2 or 3 small cottages on a acre or something like
Correct.
That. It doesn't have to be massive scale.
Doesn't have to.
Yeah. Well, those are ideas that, you know, like need to trickle up, right? And here you are, you know, right?
Hey, it's been work, a lot of work to introduce this community, and people are beginning to get it, you know, to understand that, yeah, we can do that. We can do it. Yeah, we can. Of course we can do it.
Well, Frank's telling us out of time. This is the thing, Joaquin. Like, we could have this conversation for 3 hours. There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
I know you're busy. Good luck. June 2nd is coming up.
Yes, it is.
A big day. Good luck to you. Thanks so
Thank
much
you.
For coming on the show
Thank
and giving
you
us your perspective. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. Tune in next week because we've got the other side of the card here. We'll have Ray Mueller, see what he has to say. You'll be able to compare Joaquin and Ray for via Coastal Windage. Really appreciate you both for coming on, and it's really great thing for the voters to hear directly from you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for the invitation.
Of course. Until
it's
next
an honor. It is an honor.
Thank you. Until next week, Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.